Hey peeps, Manny Lord here. Just want to say a big thank you and shout out to the YouTuber and hardcore realist truther that I know out there in the truth community. He's Mark Devlin. Go check his channel out, very good with stuff. I wouldn't even know about these if it wasn't for him. So, who remembers this track?
I'm too sexy for my shirt, too sexy for my shirt, so sexy it hurts.
Who remembers that? Well, these are very, very outspoken about the lockdown conditions and the government control. And let's just watch this clip that I found of them speaking about 2 weeks ago. And it ties in with how, you know, I think the musicians are selling out and the vaccination. I think he even mentions that in this video. So, you know, I think this is just tying a nice round knot around how most musicians are spineless. Here we go.
You know, the interesting thing for me is that back in the day, when you're looking at, say, the war in Vietnam and America, pop music was at the centre of a lot of the demonstrations, whether Joan Baez or Buffalo Springfield or Bob Dylan or whoever it was. And people, in a way, they kind of expected the pop culture to have a view. They expected it to be kicking against the traces. Yeah. And I agree with you. I mean, whether it's because a lot of artists are signed to major labels and major labels are owned by co-opted, or whether it's major management, major publishing, I don't know. But our independent, because we're independent completely, and we've chosen that route, we can pretty much say what we want. We don't have to explain ourselves to anybody.
You don't belong to the man, which is rare indeed.
Exactly.
Yeah, we did make that decision quite consciously back in the mid-90s, when we were sort of in the belly of the beast, particularly in America, because sexy was so huge. And we were being wined and dined by Hollywood's, you know, elite, I suppose you'd call them. And we really... Looking back, we should have been as happy as pigs in shit, but we weren't.
No.
And we couldn't wait to get home. We couldn't wait to or get back to the hotel. Yeah. The endless press, the endless attention. If I'd been asked 2 years before, would you want that? I would have gone, yes, of course I want that. Once we got into it, I thought,
I don't want this.
This is nothing to do with music. We're not playing. All we're doing is waving and being famous and getting photographs with lots of famous people. And I just, and we should, you know, if we were really money hungry and ambitious, we would have stayed in LA and worked that scene. That's what we would have done. But we, I guess that's not us. And so when we got back, and then we did our remarkably disastrous second album.
Thereby hangs a tale.
Bizarrely, the second album actually sold reasonably well.
It reviews were good.
Yeah, but the trouble is, compared to the first album, it did appallingly. Yeah. If it'd been our first album, everyone said that's a pretty good start. Yeah. But because those songs were so big, the second album just didn't stand a prayer.
No.
And radio already bored with us, and the whole Britpop thing was beginning to raise its head. so we were out of sync.
We got bad tempered.
Yeah, and we became difficult.
Did you?
And we didn't like it. Yeah, we did. We didn't like the industry very much. We didn't like the people we were working with. So we said, let's get away from all this and try and do things ourselves, which we did. But we also made some huge mistakes by ending up with the wrong like every band does, wrong management. And, you know, we made some classic errors. But overall, what we did hang on to was our ability to do and not do what we wanted to do. Which we've pretty much stuck to. We've made some errors, of course, but overall we've done all right.
I watched a documentary yesterday on J.J. Cale, who sadly passed away some years ago, who was a great friend of Eric Clapton. And they were talking to the manager of J.J. Cale, and the manager of J.J. Cale said, I phoned him up one day when he had his first hit record. And I said, you've got a hit record on your hands, you need to get out and promote it. And J.J. Cale's reaction was, well, if I've got a hit record, why can't I stay at home? Which is absolutely right.
Which is exactly right.
It's exactly right. You know, and I didn't think like that. I just thought, no, we've got a hit record. Get out there. But that's J.J. Cale was absolutely right. If I've got a hit record, why do I have to go out and do it? You know.
Did you make enough from the first, I mean, so, okay, imagine I'd made your first album. Would I have made enough to be able to just sit on my ass and just go fox hunting three times a week?
If you've done it on your own.
If you've done it on your own, 100%, you'd live a very good life.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
But we had to split it three ways.
Ours was split three ways.
Yeah. Four ways with the taxman.
Yeah. And also, what was interesting is that what was weird with our careers, in about the mid-90s, our careers started to dive, but our money went up. So we were in this very bizarre situation where we were actually going, we were becoming less popular.
Yeah.
But our income
was going up. So
was going up because of the usage of I'm Too Sexy in America.
Yeah.
They wouldn't stop playing it. So it was on something like, now it's done about 50 movies. It's done over 100 commercials or something mad.
Yeah.
It was on a Garnier or Lancôme or something, Kodak, Ford. It just went mad. And so we had all these really big, it's called a synchronization when somebody uses your song.
Yeah.
So we had all these syncs and it was a very odd thing. So our careers are going down the toilet, but we're sitting down with our accountant. He says, you need to spend some money. And none of the two conversations did not balance out at all.
And also we did, when the money thing was beginning to hit us as a kind of reality that we weren't making the money we thought we were, we did Comic Relief. And now with Comic Relief, you have to obviously sign over all your income to the charity, which is what you're expected to do, which is fine, which is absolutely fine.
That's what we did.
That's what we did. But when you see big checks coming in and you think, oh, I could really use that money, but you have to hand it over. That's what you've done it for.
Yeah.
That is galling. Presumably it's kind of, what's the word I'm looking for? Earmarked. You know, they can't eat into your general bag.
It is ring fenced. It wasn't a major issue. It's just that at the end of the 90s, I think literally 99, our financial wheels came off a little bit, but then we were fortunate enough to have a big couple of albums in 2001, and it all kicked off again in Europe, mainly Germany, and so that sort of we.
Yeah, to say there's actually a in the 90s and early 2000s and late 2000s as well, before it hit the 2010s, music was absolutely huge in Europe. I mean, Germany is one of the capitals of metal for a good 6 months to 9 months, man. You know, Europe was bawling, and Japan was starting to kick up as well, you know, during that time. And it's like everything since the COVID hit, music has just completely nosedived. There's been nothing for a year and a half apart from these sellout artists doing live shows promoting the agenda. So let's carry on.
We dipped momentarily and then we bounced back up again. And we tend to, because we sort of run everything ourselves, we manage our finances. We sort of we've managed to hang in there, really. We're not very extravagant.
No.
We did do the, well, Richard bought a Ferrari and I bought some silly cars.
Worst thing I ever did.
You know, so we went down that route a little bit, but not for long because it's not something I'm particularly attracted to. We still have nice cars, but not like a gold Lamborghini, with Fred written on the back.
Is it just a boring red Lamborghini?
Yes, yeah, yes. Yeah. We haven't gone down that route. We are quite well. And we're both very, very neighbourhood. I'm meant to be living in Barcelona, but because of this, it's been difficult. We're crashing at Richard's at the moment. But both of us, whether I'm in Barcelona or we're here, I live within about four blocks. I'm very neighbourhood. I'm one of those people that, you know, they, I don't know if you've ever seen in LA, you get these gangs, you know, the Cribs or whoever, and some of them have never seen the sea because they won't leave their neighborhood. So they live in LA, but they've never seen the ocean.
Yeah.
And I'm a bit like that. Once I'm in my neighborhood, that is it.
You'd be hard pressed to see the ocean from here.
Yes, you would.
You'd have to get up a very, very tall building to see the ocean.
Now, I think you've definitely chosen the right path. And, I think most people who end up in the music industry actually have a pretty horrible time of it, actually. I don't get the impression there's much happiness there.
interesting, lads. Very interesting. Now I've got one more video. Let's watch this one.
Richard, yes.
We'll call it after this one. Let me turn it down a bit because the volume level seems a bit a lot higher.
The conference has been fascinating.
It has, yes.
What's your initial impression?
My initial impression, it was nice to be in a room with people who really know what they're talking about.
Yeah.
I think Fred and I are the two most stupid people.
Listen, you've been on social media, you've been amazing, so don't put yourself down.
So, but it's the only thing that one person touched on it, which I think is a really...
By the way, this is post watching or being involved in a truth freedom seminar, as to say. So that's the context.
An issue that's sort of been skirted around a little bit, which is to do with whether we believe the government or the opposition are doing their best and for the right reasons. And I'm not convinced that that's true. I certainly think that there's been a huge vacuum of advice right from the very beginning, you know.
And what's the impact been on the entertainment industry for college?
Well, we've lost a year and a half of work. I don't know, Fred and I don't know any musician.
This is what I was talking about earlier on.
In the UK, personally, that's had any money from the government at all.
Uh-huh.
So if we didn't, we write, so we get some publishing money, so that's keeping the wolf from the door. But we've lost, you know, a year and a half of work.
Yeah.
The thing that has been most shocking to me is the lack of support that the entertainment industry and performers has given it. And it's not just musicians, it could be dancers, it could be anything, it could be crew, it could be anything.
Mm-hmm.
I've written to the MU and they've said, well, they're doing their bit, you know, behind the scenes and everything else. And I don't think that's enough.
Yeah.
That's sort of the same what I've got with the council. Apart from the council, I'm not even working behind the scenes. So, but this is a different issue. I'm on about a different issue. But, you know, it's the same kind of result. It's not enough.
I think they need to have a big bang at MU, you know, against oppression or whatever it is,
mm-hmm.
and it's feet on the street. That's what counts.
Yeah.
And getting a few faces there would be great. But then you get people like Springsteen and the Foo Fighters, you know, doing vaccinated only gigs.
Yeah.
It's really depressing.
That awful video they was doing. There, right?
Yeah.
15 brilliant comedians.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Given the fact that the NHS is what has had. An additional $50 billion spent over the last year for these ridiculous policies like track and trace
we
discussed here this morning.
Yeah.
It does kind of point out the...
Look at that guy wearing a mask in the background. It's quite ironic.
The fact that, you know, this is a government that is fundamentally mishandling this crisis, isn't it? They appear to be rudderless.
Well, my question is...
That girl didn't even have it over her nose. Half a jobber.
Whether that's a designed thing, you know, if they look chaotic, you kind of put it down to bad management when actually they do know what they're saying. And right at the very beginning of this, when we had Trudeau and Johnson and Merkel and one or two others using those, you know, build back better phrase, it wasn't coincidental.
Yeah,
it wasn't coincidental. And my suspicions were aroused the minute I saw that.
Yeah.
And I thought this is not chaotic.
Yeah,
this is planned much more than we think.
Yeah.
Completely.
And and Nick Hudson this morning really touched on that. You know, there is a kind of ideological.
I think he's right there.
Yeah.
I think he is right, but I think it's underpinned by people with vast amounts of money and ill will.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, and I think people need to. I talk about this all the time. Right back in the day when we talked about seatbelts, I know it's a really stupid thing to say, but when you buy a car, you buy the interior of the car too. That's your space. And we allowed the state into that space by telling us to wear seatbelts. I'm not against seatbelts, I think they're a good idea. But that's what we did. And gradually, since that time, we've allowed the state incrementally to make its presence felt in our daily lives.
The totalitarian tiptoe, as Davey Dyke explains it and eloquently explains it. Sorry.
And I think this is where you end up.
Yeah.
The state telling you where, you know, arrows. Look at that down there. Yeah, social distancing. Absolutely. Please do this. Please do that.
Yeah.
It's wrong. It's just blatantly wrong.
But hopefully the new era, and starting today, will be we're going to reduce the size of the state back down to where it should be.
The state needs putting back in its box. There's no doubt about it. Absolutely. I mean, my fear now is certainly for businesses and for mental health and all that, if there's another lockdown in the autumn, which they are talking about, it's going to be catastrophic. And of course, the furlough money was just hush money.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, and that's all it was. And it's our money. When I think it was Luke Johnson's talked about the government doing this and the government doing that with money. It's our money.
Yeah.
Yeah, so the government have no money. We pay them. We forget that they are our servants. We tend to defer to them the whole time. And that's not... the people are in control. We own everything. We pay for everything.
Absolutely. And of course, they're borrowing bucketloads in our name.
Absolutely. And there are generations as yet unborn who will bear the brunt of this. Mm. You know, I mean, I'd hate to be, 10 now. I mean, as a 10-year-old, you run around and you don't know what's going on. But by the time you're 20, it's going to be a nightmare.
And there was
that's what's happened to all of us. As we grow up, we're just running around doing our own learning up, and then we hit the red pill. We munch on a few red pills, and then it hits us. Imagine what this guy's talking about, the kids nowadays, when they eat the red pills in 10 years' time, if nothing changes right now. Oof.
A theme, really, the children were suffering the consequences of this. They're the chopping block.
Yes.
They're the ones who are really suffering, and their futures are being devastated.
Exactly. Well, Neil Oliver made a really good point about the vaccination of children to protect adults. And he asked the question, what kind of adult would stand behind a wall of children for protection?
Absolutely.
And that's absolutely true,
Richard, it's been a pleasure. And listen, keep up the good work
on social media. Thank you.
It's inspirational.
Thank you.
And you've hopefully will inspire others.
Well, actually, I'll take it back. I think Amen, if I'm correct, I think Amen is actually Baal. So I'll take that back, if I'm correct. If my memory serves me right, it's been a while since I've been looking into that stuff. But anyway, sorry, better.
The industry to come out and start saying something.
Yeah, well, on the 24th of July in London, there's a big march, as you probably know. So
another one. God damn. 4 days. Nice.
So I would ask every musician out there, every performer, every singer, every crew member that's out of work as a consequence of this, to be on the march.
Brilliant.
Feet on the street.
Great to meet you.
Nice to meet you too. Cheers, mate. Thank you very much.
I like to see your opinions and your perceptions of what I believe a real musician is. Whether, I personally, it's not my type of music, but it's good music. I appreciate good music. It's well written, it's catchy, it was simple. The timing at that time was perfect. Again, it's not my style, but whether you like them or not, in my eyes, these are true, real musicians, and there's not a lot of them about. So I hope you like this example. I'd like to hear your opinions, if you have any. It's a manly load. Over and out.